I tend to start preaching with a joke, so here we go. During the French Revolution, there were three Christians, and they were sentenced to die by the guillotine. One Christian had the gift of faith, the other had the gift of prophecy, and the other had the gift of helping. The Christian with the gift of faith was to be executed first. "I have faith that God will deliver me," he shouted bravely. His head was positioned under the guillotine with his neck on the chopping block. He looked up at the sharp blade, said a short prayer, and waited confidently. The rope was pulled, but nothing happened. The executioners were amazed, and believing that this must be an act of God, they freed him. The Christian with the gift of prophecy was next. He shouted, "I am not afraid to die. However, I predict that God will deliver me from this guillotine." At that, the rope was pulled, and again, nothing happened. Once again, the puzzled executioners assumed this must be a miracle of God, and they freed the man. The third Christian, with the gift of helping, was next. The executioners did the same, positioned him face up under the guillotine, and they were about to pull the rope when the man stopped them. "Hey, wait a minute. I think I just found the problem with your guillotine." So, I'm going to be talking today about gifting, starting by unpacking 1 Corinthians 12 and then thinking about how we can apply this. In this passage we heard earlier, Paul is talking about spiritual gifts, but I'll start with a bit of context. Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and in verses 1 to 3 of this passage, this is 1 Corinthians 12 if you want to follow along, he's expressing his concern with the Christian church in Corinth. He's instructing them not to make any compromises with the pagan society that was dominant there. In Corinth, there were temples to Aphrodite, Poseidon, Apollo, Hermes, and even Isis, which is that little one there. Nothing to do with Islamic State. It's actually an Egyptian god. So there were many other gods that were being worshipped here. So it was no wonder that Paul was concerned that they weren't led astray. In verses 4 to 6, Paul moves on to talk about spiritual gifts, saying that there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributing them. So while there are a range of gifts, God is the one who gives them to us. Why are we given these gifts? Why? Paul says in verse 7 that they are given for the common good. What do we mean by the common good? Well, it means something that will help others. It could be in the church, it could be outside of the church. In verses 8 to 10, Paul then lists some of these spiritual gifts, so you can see them there. It says that some of us can speak with wisdom, sharing our wisdom with others. Others can speak with knowledge or have great faith. Others have gifts of healing. Others miraculous powers. Others prophecy. Others can distinguish between different spirits. Some translations refer to this as discernment. Others can speak in tongues, and still others can interpret tongues. Now, later in the chapter, it actually mentions other gifts, such as apostleship, teaching, and helping. Some translations also mention administration. So, looking at this list, what do you all think? Are these all the spiritual gifts? Or are there any more? Any thoughts? Well, while researching this, I found that there's actually another list in Romans 12, also written by Paul. Oh, here we go. So we've got prophecy, service, teaching, encouragement, giving, leadership, mercy. And then there's another list in Ephesians. You've got apostleship, prophecy again, we've seen that a couple of times, evangelism, pastoring, teaching. And then there are other passages within the Bible that people think these are definitely spiritual gifts as well. So you've got things like celibacy, to voluntarily remain single, hospitality, martyrdom, to give over one's life to suffer or to be put to death for the cause of Christ, missionary, to be able to minister to another culture, and voluntary poverty, to purposely live an impoverished lifestyle, to serve and aid others. So here are all the lists put together. Sorry if you can't see it at the back, but you can basically see there's a lot, yeah, a lot of different things there. There are a few that are common to more than one list, but there are a lot that aren't. But I don't think these lists are meant to be complete, covering any gifts you may or may not have. I look at this list, for example, and I don't see hairdressing, for example. It's not on there, is it? I don't think. Is it there? Can you see it? No? But that's not the point, I don't think. I know for Helen, it's creativity is one of her gifts. She's very creative and she can use it for reaching people very well. Paul's point, I believe, isn't to provide a list of all the spiritual gifts, but to say that the gifts we are given are works of the Holy Spirit. We all have them, but we don't all have the same gifts. Then in the second half of 1 Corinthians 12, Paul then focuses on the importance of unity. He uses the analogy of a body made up of many parts. Now, I don't know how you feel about the gifts you have. You may think that the gifts you have really aren't that special, or maybe just that they're not very useful. Has anyone here seen the film? It was out a couple of years ago, called The Imitation Game. Okay, very good film. In this story, Benedict Cumberbatch, he plays Alan Turing, who is trying to design a machine to decipher Enigma. This is during the Second World War, the German Enigma. They were trying to decipher it. Joan Clarke, played by Keira Knightley, she was very good at crossword puzzles. Okay, it's great to be good at crossword puzzles, but I'm sure there were times when she was thinking, how useful is this ability to anyone? Well, Turing knew that it would be useful for what he was trying to do. He puts a difficult crossword in a newspaper and Joan solves it. She was good at crosswords and puzzles and ended up using this strength, and she was part of the team that cracked Enigma. Or maybe it's different for you. Maybe you think your gifts are very good, more useful than what other people have. Now, there are a lot of people in the world who, quite honestly, think that their gifts and abilities are somehow superior to others. Does anybody know who this is? Okay, you can see the back of his shirt, which gives it away a little bit, but yes, quite a legend, wasn't he? Eric Cantona was his name. He was a very special footballer, but he thought of himself as really special. And one of the things he said was, "I am not a man, I am Cantona." Sorry, Cantona, we're all humans and we all need each other. So Paul goes on to say that the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. God has put the body together. We are all parts of this body and we should have equal concern for each other. And that's the truth, isn't it? We all need each other. Several years ago, there's a really great example of this. Two students, they graduated from college in Chicago, the College of Law in Chicago, and the highest ranked student was a blind man named Overton. When he received his award, he insisted that half the credit should go to his friend, Kasprzak. They met one another in school when Kasprzak, who had no arms, guided Overton down a flight of stairs. They became friends. The blind man carried the books, which the armless man read out in their study. The weakness of one was compensated by the other. So it's the same with us, isn't it? We're not all good at everything. And we can help each other with the gifts that we do have. Paul goes on to say in verse 26, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. So we as church need to be as one body, celebrating each other's achievements, but also stand by and pray with our Christian brothers and sisters when they're suffering or going through a hard time. So Paul goes on to say, God has placed in the church apostles, prophets, teachers, and he lists the other gifts too. But he then says, are all apostles? Of course, no. We all have gifts, but we don't have all the gifts. So what are your gifts, your spiritual gifts? Maybe there are several on this list that you thought, that's me, that's me, that's me. Wow, I've got loads of these. This is great. But for me personally, nothing really jumped out at me. And we see this with people in the Bible too. We see this with Moses. When God appeared to him in the burning bush, he was given a great assignment by God. Initially, Moses didn't want to do it, feeling that he couldn't speak well enough for this assignment. But God used him. Actually, Moses ended up being a great leader. He had been brought up in the Egyptian court so he could relate to Pharaoh and the others in the court. He also had compassion for his people. He had great faith in God, even when no one else did. And he obeyed God's orders, despite personal danger and overwhelming odds. God worked tremendous miracles through him. What about your gifts? How do you find out what gifts you have? Well, as far as spiritual gifts are concerned, there are quite a few questionnaires that you could look up if you want online. One is shown here. If you need it at the end, if you don't get a chance to write it down, I can tell you this information. So that's one way. One very good way is actually to ask friends, family, people who know you well. Yeah, it might be people in the church. Sometimes other people can see your strengths better than you can. At the church I'm part of in Birmingham, we found a book called Strength Finder, very useful for finding out our strengths. It's not a Christian book, but it's packed with a lot of research, and Helen and I, we found it very helpful. They've recently released Strength Finders 2.0, so if you were interested, I can give you information about that. But the organisation that published this, they found 34 strengths that different individuals have. And doing the questionnaire, it'll tell you which of these 34 strengths are your top five, things that you really excel in. It's very unlikely that there will be anyone you know with the same top five strengths as you. Helen and I, we don't have one top five strength that's the same, and that's fantastic, and I think a marriage works very well when you have different strengths. I would recommend you to do the test in this book, particularly if you were like me and felt unsure about what your strengths are. Or maybe you know what your strengths are, but just don't think they're very useful. Maybe you struggle to see how they can be used. Well, you're not the only one. David from the Bible, he had an ability to play the harp and to write music. It might have not seemed that useful a skill to him as a king, but he wrote songs then, which have inspired people for thousands of years. And we all have gifts. These gifts are given to us for the common good, and we need to use them. The more we use them, the better we'll become. But sometimes this can be hard work. Anyone know who this man is? Very good. Few people know. Johnny Wilkinson, a former England rugby union player. He was a huge member of the 2003 England team that won the Rugby World Cup, scoring the winning drop goal in the last minute of extra time. Okay, he had a gifting for rugby, didn't he? But he had to work hard. It's said he used to practice for 4 hours every day just on his kicking. Just kicking a rugby ball between a set of posts for 4 hours. Every day. That's how he became as good as he was. And we see this same principle at work in many giftings. We sometimes have to go through what's known as the discomfort of learning to become good at something. I'm sure this is something that probably many, it will resonate with you. It did with me when I was trying to learn a language. Have any of you guys been in a country where English has not been the first language spoken? Probably a few. I remember going to Spain with my brother. We went into a restaurant and I wanted to order something in Spanish. Now, there was no English menu and I didn't have a clue what was written on the board. There was a board there with numbered items. So I was like, okay, what do I know in Spanish? Unos, which is one, dos, tres, cuatros. I just ordered 1, 2, 3, 4. That's all I knew. Of course, I ended up under it. I ordered 4 starters. I felt pretty useless, and I went back to my Spanish phrasebook to try and learn some more words. But it's very rare to be good at something straight away. Usually you have to go through discomfort to become good at something. We also have to believe we can do it with God's help. And when it's something difficult to achieve, it can feel at times impossible, but we need to persevere through the difficulties. Paul ends this section by saying, now eagerly desire the greater gifts. What does this mean? Could it mean some gifts are better than others? If this was the case, maybe being an apostle is best, then a prophet, followed by a teacher. But if that was the case, well then in this other passage in Romans, he didn't even mention apostle. So that would be surprising to me. I don't think that is what Paul is trying to say. It seems that he's actually trying to say that we should desire more gifts. Perhaps you want to have another gift, to have the gift of wisdom or healing. Pray about it. Ask God for this gift. King Solomon asked God for wisdom, and God gave him more wisdom than anyone before or after him. But he needed to ask. But there's always one thing we need to think about when we are desiring more gifts. Why? Why do we want more gifts of the Spirit? Well, it says the gifts of the Spirit are given not for our own good, but for the common good. So, yeah, for us to help people within the church, as well as people outside of the church. So, in conclusion, we need to find these gifts, find out what they are. We're all unique, and God made us that way. We need to use these gifts. We need to use our gifts, often to get better at it. Refine them, work on them, try to improve them as much as you can. Desire more, ask God for more, and also work on them ourselves. And just finally, we need to remember to use these gifts for the common good, not just for ourselves. Maybe we can pray now, if that's okay. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you've made us all different, that you have given each of us gifts. I pray that you would help us to find out what gifts we have and then use our gifts. I pray that we'll also work to improve them, hone them, and to use them for good. Finally, I pray that we don't just focus on the gifts we have, but that we desire more gifts, desire to improve ourselves, and desire to be used more for your purpose and what you want us to do. If that involves a change, doing something we've never done before, or maybe something that scares us, I pray that you give us the courage to take this step into the unknown. In Jesus' name.